A guy I can relate to in this sermon, John Mark. How many of you know a lot about John Mark? We talked just a lot about Daniel last few weeks, and today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about John Mark in the scripture. He's somebody I can relate to. When we first kind of meet John Mark, if you're reading the scripture chronologically, we see that when Peter actually is arrested for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he is in prison. When he escapes from prison, and that's pretty miraculous, but when he gets out of that, he retreats to the house of Christians. He goes to a house of Christians, and he's knocking on the door. And it happens to be the house of John Mark's mother, Mary. So that's where we kind of see that maybe there's some kind of relationship between John Mark and Peter. John Mark is sometimes referred to by biblical scholars as Mark the Evangelist. Some people think that he may have written the Gospel of Mark. So this is a person who, you know, comes from a strong Christian family, a good Christian background, and this first introduction is we see his family is just huddling in prayer, praying for Peter so passionately, and that they're just obviously followers of the disciples and followers of Jesus. The next time we see John Mark, though, however, is in the Bible. He is traveling companion of Paul and Barnabas. In fact, and Paul and Barnabas was doing great evangelical work. They were doing just phenomenal stuff for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they end up having an argument about John Mark. And the argument is because John, a young man, you know, at some point he just decides that he's going to quit. Enough is enough. And he stops doing what, he turns around and goes home. And this causes such a huge conflict, a rift between Paul and Barnabas, they actually end up splitting up their ministry. And Barnabas goes one way and Paul goes another way. And I've often wondered, what was the things that may have caused John Mark to just throw in the towel? What caused him to quit? What caused him to give up? Have you ever thought about that? Was it that he was just too young? Maybe he was a young Christian. He wasn't really ready for the type of commitment that was there. Was there something going on at home, something in his personal life? Was there a girl involved? We don't really know. We just know that he quit. He went back. And one of the reasons I can relate to John Mark is because as a pastor, many of us pastors kind of have this thing that we all joke about, and unfortunately it's a truthful joke, which is why we all find it funny. But many of us get our resignation letters ready on Monday. We're always ready to quit come Monday for some reason. We're just ready to stop and not work anymore. We just want to turn around and go home. Maybe that's why I can relate to John Mark. And there's been a few times in my career, I assure you, that I have definitely had that, you know, resignation letter ready. I typed it all up and thought about quitting and just, I can't do this anymore. It's just too hard. And you know, you just kind of want to stop. You know, giving up is really the easy way out. Giving up is really the easy way out. It's easy to throw in the towel. I'm sure many of you all know what I'm talking about. Come on. There's been a time, right? There's been a time when you really just wanted to quit. You wanted to quit Sunday school teaching. You just wanted to quit going to church. You just wanted to stop. Whatever reason. And sometimes that can even happen in relationships. You know, you wanted to quit the marriage. You wanted to quit a friendship. You just wanted to throw in the towel. And since this is a feeling that many of us can relate to, I want to talk about it in relation to Christianity. Because you're trying to do the right thing, you try to do what's good, and it seems like the more you try, the harder you try to do the right thing, it just seems like the worse it gets. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Surely you do. Surely you do. You just want to give in. you look around and you see everybody else. It seems like it's going so much easier for them. They have the nice car, the nice house, the nice whatever. And you think, here I am playing by the rules, following God, trying my best, you know, giving my tithes, doing what I need to do. And all it is a struggle. And I just need to stop. I mean, what does it matter? And so we get to that point, especially now. I mean, I think now even more so, I think Christians are discouraged. What do you think? I mean, come on. I mean, you can't even get a hug. It's hard to go to church. You can't shake hands. There's so much conflict in the world. There's so much division. There just seems to be so much going wrong everywhere. It's easy to stop doing good. Just kind of look out for yourself and take care of myself. Everybody else is. Take care of just me and mine. I don't need this headache. And giving up is an easy way out. But it comes with a price. And it doesn't actually solve anything. The question you need to ask yourself is, why shouldn't we give up as Christians? Why shouldn't we just start looking out for myself? Ourselves. Why shouldn't we just look out for ourselves? Why do we need to worry about anybody else or take care of anybody else? Keep trying to share the gospel. I mean, why not just give up? I tell you, there were so many scriptures that deals with this idea of giving up, of Christians just kind of turning back. But I had trouble choosing for this sermon. They're in the Old Testament and the New Testament about maintaining the course and doing what we need to do. In fact, here's one of them. This one says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And that's found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So, God tells us to not give up, to not grow weary. Why would he even put that scripture in there? I think because he knew it would be human tendency to get weary of doing good, of just getting tired of it. It doesn't seem to make a difference. It doesn't seem to help. No one listens to you anyway. And so you get weary of doing good. But God says, don't become weary. Don't get tired. Don't stop doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap the harvest if you do not give up. Then he tells us to not give up, even if we are doing something we really don't want to do, like a job. Because there's some of you that are working jobs and you think, why am I working this job? I can't serve the Lord. I can't do anything. At my company, I can't even pray or share Christ. I'm working like a dog and I'm trying to do the right things. You're trying to live the Christian example. You bite your lip. You bite your tongue. You don't say things back because you're trying to be that Christian example in that environment, in that work environment. And it's hard. Yet God says, do not give up, even if you're doing something you don't really like. The scripture says, and it's found here in Colossians 3:23, verse 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So even if we're doing something for people, we're still to model the Christian life in front of them. We're still not to give up. We're to do what the Lord has encouraged us to do. Because if we do, we'll receive an inheritance. If Finally, God even tells us not to give up under trial or persecution. I tell you what, there are Christians in this country now that are definitely under trial. Not only because they're asking, why me, why, Lord, am I struggling with COVID or my family member? Whereas fires in California and Oregon, homes are being destroyed. I mean, I can't believe how much of that states, those states are ablaze. Louisiana is still struggling. There's Christians that are still trying to put their houses back together. Folks in California are wanting to go to church, and the government is threatening them and doing all kinds of things to them to keep their churches from even opening. There's trial in the land. And there might be yet still more to come. This has been 2020, has been a year, and it ain't over yet. And so there may be more trials. Yet the scripture says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, and I want you to catch that. What is a trial? It's a test. It's a test to see that you will persevere, that you will stay the course, that you will not lose faith, that you will keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Because it's easy to follow God when everything's good. Am I right? Amen? But when things get difficult, sometimes we start doing that. Why, Lord, why? And we start questioning. We think, well, why not just look out for me? This Christian stuff's too hard. And I'm going to tell you what. In the 20-something years of ministry, I have seen people leave the church and leave God because it was too hard. They thought it was going to be so much easier. And you'll know those people because when you try to talk to them about Jesus, they'll say, oh, no, I did that. I've actually had people admit it was too hard to do. You know, they've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. And so now you can't talk to them about Jesus because they're turning their back. They knew the truth and had walked away because it was too hard. So they went back to the alcohol or the drug or the sex, whatever it was that would numb it, the pain, take, you know, give them pleasure. Did it be a distraction? They turned their back on God because for those things. And they failed the test. James 1:12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Did you notice that all three of these scriptures had a promise attached to it? Did you happen to notice that? Did you catch what they were? Let me show you what they were. One was a crown of life. The other was an inheritance from the Lord. And the third was harvest at the proper time. So if you will not grow weary, if you will go through the trial, if you will stand the course, if you will stay with God, you will receive a crown of life. You will receive your inheritance that has been promised to you from the Lord, and you will see the harvest at the proper time. And I'll be honest with you, some of us will not see the harvest until we get to heaven. And then when you're standing there, and this one comes up to you, and that one comes up to you, and this one comes up to you, and you see how many, you are going to freak out. Sunday school teachers, you've raised up missionaries, you've raised up preachers. How many lives have they touched? I think about my Sunday school teachers, my past worship leaders. 20-plus years in ministry, you know how many people I've touched? But they raised me up. And now I've raised up ministers. And they've gone out to do ministry and missions. One's a professor at a seminary teaching young people how to be ministers. And I had the opportunity of raising him up. And it started in a little bitty church with not more than 20-something people. And a Sunday school teacher who got up every day to teach to one kid or two kids every Sunday and didn't give up. And now Jerry will forever be in my name. And think about how many people I've touched because she stayed faithful. She'll receive her inheritance. She will receive her harvest at the proper time. When we go to her to say thank you, and then there's all those people behind me, and then there's all those people behind them. A crown of life, an inheritance from the Lord. And I won't lie to you, I know all this. And yet I still have days where I go, oh, I just want to quit. I'm so tired. I just get so weary. Yet, do not give up. Your reward is great. That's the message God wanted me to tell you today. And I'll admit, I was having one of my days of, oh, I just want to give up. It's so frustrating. You can't minister. You can't really do anything. And Noelle was fussing at me, and she said, don't give up. Your reward is great. God wants you to know that. In fact, He wants you to preach on it. Do not give up. Your reward is great. And so the message He wants me to deliver to you is do not give up. Your reward is great. I needed to hear it, and I guess you guys needed to hear it too. And I know it's something I've preached before. This isn't anything new. It's not something you haven't heard before, but guess what? That's what encouragement's about. Every now and then again, we have to hear it again. We have to hear, stay the course, do not give up. And that's why I put this scripture up. Because it's still going to come and hit you every once in a while. You're just going to get discouraged. There'll be an argument. Maybe things aren't going right in the marriage. They're just issues. You're having trouble with the kids or the grandkids. Whatever the reason is that you're just frustrated and you just get tired and you want to give up. And you have to hang on. And the only way you can hang on is sometimes you have to revisit the scriptures. And I really encourage you, get out those scriptures that tell you why you should not give up. Because the scripture can take you back to the why you are doing this. And the why you are doing this is that you are doing this for the Lord. So I'm going to give you some life application today. Whenever you feel like giving up, you need to reread these passages. Let their promises keep you focused on the prize and let it take you back to the why you are doing this. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" Run in such a way as to get the prize. And how does the runner run to get the prize? He stays focused on that goal line. He pumps it. When his body hurts, when it aches, when his screaming stops, he ignores it and it keeps pushing through. And that's what we have to do. Another life application is sometimes you're going to have a mindset that says, I won't quit. I won't quit. I'm going to stay on course. One foot in front of the other. You get yourself up. You make yourself do it. You focus on that finish line. So what's going on around you or how you feel, it doesn't matter. Because you're looking at the goal. You're looking at where you're going. You're looking at heaven. You're looking at Jesus. Your focus is on God. And sometimes there's going to be days where you just have to keep chipping away at it. No matter what. You got to keep chipping away at it. And you need to ask God how you should proceed. Those are going to be times. You know, if you're really hitting a wall, hitting a wall, hitting a wall, that's when you got to stop and pray. You got to ask the Lord, am I going about this the right way? Am I trying to do this my way and not your way? That's when you really got to hit your knees and you need to start listening and you start to listen and you talk to other people and you listen to them. And I know it's hard. Because let me tell you what. People are sleeping through stuff now. They are. They try to read their Bible, they're sleeping. They're trying to pray, they're sleeping. They go to church, they're sleeping. They're sleeping and they're not giving their focus to Christ because they've given their energy and their focus to everything else. And you are going to be discouraged. And so you'll have to remember that sometimes it's not because of you, but it's because of them and where they're at spiritually. So make sure you separate when is it you and when is it them. And ask God how you should proceed. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So once you've discerned that it's not you, it's them that might be causing your discouragement, you need to pray for them. You ask the Lord, how do you go forward? And then you commit what you're trying to do to the Lord. Because sometimes we can't hear him. There are going to be times you're not going to be able to hear God. Because of whatever. And when that happens, when those times of silence come, and those might be the times that you're in the test, that you're in the trial, when those times come, then go on the last thing he gave you and commit to him whatever you're trying to do, commit it to the Lord. And he will guide you. Because if you are in faith, honestly trying to follow him, honestly trying to do what you think he wants you to do and what's right, and you're reading his word and you're staying true to it and you're following that word of God, then he will establish your plans. He will not ignore that type of faithfulness. And those are the days when you will have to chip away. You'll have to just put one foot in front of the other and keep doing and just work on whatever last thing he was he told you to do. Isaiah 40:29 says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And I've seen that. There have been times when I just didn't have it. And that's where you can pray and you can say, Lord, please increase me. And I tell you what, he will. And even if you were weak going in and you were weak going out, it don't matter. He will still show up and do what needs to be done. But still, some of us are type A personalities. You know what I mean? We need to see a little success, am I right? Something to kind of encourage us and keep us going. If you're really a type A personality and it's really hard for you and you're really struggling with discouragement and you've done everything I said, you've read the scripture, you've remembered why, you've tried to keep your focus on God, you know, you're seeking him, you're asking other ways how, you're not really hearing anything, let me tell you something. This might be a time to do a little something that can allow you to see some success. Just a small project. Try doing something that can allow you to see yourself kind of moving forward. For example, and it doesn't always have to be spiritual. For example, paint a room. You know, come to church and clean and organize a Sunday school room. Finish a small project. Clean and organize your closet. And do it for him, for his glory, for his honor. Knit that sweater you've been talking about. But whatever it is, keep it small so you can finish it. You have time to finish it, and you can do it so you can succeed at something. And it just gives you a boost of energy when you do that. And there's even things in ministry you can do that's small. Like I said, come and organize a Sunday school room. Clean the kitchen in the church. Something that you see a result for. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Who dares despise the day of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that reigns throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone at the hand of Zerubbabel." So he just had a capstone, and he was just starting the small work of measuring things out. And once he got it measured out and in place, he was done. That's not a small thing, though. Sometimes little things, small things that we do, preparing a lesson, getting through something, just something where you can finish it, can still lead to something bigger, and it helps you. So I want to encourage you to do that. So you remember the application now? Life application to keep yourself going. Remember why you're doing it. Keep your focus on the reward, right? Do something small if you need to. Reread the scriptures. These are things that you can do. Ask God for help. Ask Him why, or how, I should say. Okay, that's my message today. My message is, do not give up. Your reward is great.